on the streets of Sudan. Outside the military headquarters in Khartoum, tens of thousands of men and women are converging once again to show their anger against a sudden military takeover that's threatening the nation's fragile democratic transition.
An urgent call to all Sudanese civilians who want to protect their revolution. What the military is doing is a betrayal to all citizens on all fronts. It is the duty of all civilians to move and to block all roads outside to prevent any military force to move. Right now, all of us must unite to show the truth.
The return of the old regime is impossible, no matter what the excuses or the justifications. The return is impossible. This is the first statement of the people. Women and men are refusing any kind of fraud on democracy and civil society.
After months of power struggle, Sudan's generals arrested several civilian members of the governing sovereign council and moved Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok to an undisclosed location. The internet and phone lines are disrupted and the airport in Khartoum closed. The pro-democracy coalition born out of the 2019 uprising that ousted longtime leader Omar al-Bashir has called for protests and strikes to resist what it thinks is a military coup. Last month, a failed coup attempt by forces loyal to Bashir widened divisions between the military and civilian sides of the transitional government. Both sides blame each other for slow reforms, a worsening economic crisis, poverty and corruption.
The deal that was signed in August of 2019 was always flawed in a number of ways. For me, two of the biggest flaws were that the military were going to maintain control of gold mines and other financial interests sort of independent of the state and in a somewhat corrupt manner, and that they were never really going to investigate themselves enough for the massacres of June 2019.
The hard-won gains of the pro-democracy uprising have not led to reforms many people fought for. And now, with more political upheaval, Sudan is once again on the edge. Priyanka Gupta, Al Jazeera.
Well, this is what we know so far about who's been arrested. Most members of Sudan's civilian leadership, including members of the Transitional Sovereignty Council, have been detained by the military. As we mentioned earlier, Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok has been taken to an unknown location, according to the Culture and Information Ministry. His media advisor, Faisal Mohamed Salah, has been detained. So has Mohamed Al-Thaqi Suleiman. He's the spokesman for the Sovereign Council and has been vocal in criticising the military. And the Minister of Industry, Ibrahim Al-Sheikh, and the Minister of Information, Hamza Balul, have also been placed under arrest, according to reports. Let's go live then to Sudan's capital, Khartoum. Al Jazeera's Hiba Morgan is on the line now. Hiba Morgan, we're going to interrupt you in a moment because we're expecting a statement. In fact, we're going to that statement right now. Let's listen in.
Who doesn't believe in peace and justice. That's why when the December revolutionaries say their slogans and thousands of them stood in front of the general command of the armed forces responded positively and decided to work to achieve the aspiration of the people, to achieve the aspiration of the nation, justice, peace and freedom. Because we are quite convinced that the Sudanese people deserve a nation that they can practice and see these slogans and these big names in the nation until the moment we deliver power to a civilian government that will achieve more. During this transitional period, the armed forces were quite aware, and the people were quite aware of the partnership between the military people and the civilians to go through the same way in order to achieve the goals of the people through general elections, through the practices that we have been doing and witnessing all over a year. And this will include the leaders and the powers, because other than that, there will be divisions that are a threat to the safety of our nation, Prime Minister Dr. Abdullah Hamdok has seen that in his initiative in July and October of this year. So the armed forces, because it's the constituent power of this transitional period, the armed forces has a national duty to keep and the safety and sovereignty of the nation according to the constitutional draft and according to the mission of the armed forces. That's why we need not to distract the nation, and we need not to destroy the nation. We have started our path toward the states of freedom, justice, and peace. But some political powers are still trying to maintain everything in their hands without paying attention to the threats, political threats and economic threats and social threats. That's why in the armed forces and the rapid support forces, we were keen to take the necessary steps that will keep and maintain the December Revolution until we reach the final goal, which is a civil state via fair and just elections. That's why we decided the following: to declare a state of emergency nationwide, to adhere and to commit ourselves to what has been mentioned in the constitutional document and the agreement of peace in Sudan signed in Juba in October 2020. Three, we suspend the operation of Article 11, 12, 15, and 16, 23, 24, 3, 71, 72 of the constitutional draft, and we commit ourselves to all the agreements signed by us. We dissolve the Sovereign Council and the Cabinet, and we put an end to the job of the mayors and the undersecretaries and the department and the general of the department in the states will do their job, and we will revise everything, and we will take decisions towards everything. And we urge everyone to abide by the agreement of Juba 2020. We stress and we confirm that some of our people in the East have their own sufferings, and we are quite sure that justice and peace must prevail. So we need to work hard in order to reach last solutions that will meet the aspirations of our people and that would sort out the problems nationwide. We believe that the December Revolution is going on because the people who have started this revolution believe in the golden aims and goals of the revolution. And we all, starting from today till the date of the elections in July 2023, we urge everyone to work hard to pave the way for better living, to create a better environment for the parties to work hard until the date of the elections. We need everyone to be ready to lead the country after the elections. A government of independent people will be formed after elections to represent all the people of the Sudan. We will be keen to apply every rule of justice, and we will support the judiciary, the constitutional court, the all the cornerstones that will help our nation to be solid and strong. A revolutionary parliament will be also created to monitor the situation and to monitor the steps being taken for the welfare of the Sudanese people. We need to work hard we need to produce, because our people and our nation deserves all sacrifices. We need to keep our country and we need to keep our people safe. We are quite committed to the items of the constitutional agreement and the Juba agreement. And we urge Abdulaziz Al-Hilu, we urge Abdulwahid Muhammad Noor to join the path of building the new Sudan, Sudan where freedom, justice will prevail, because no group or no individual will impose their opinion again on Sudanese people. We thank Iran and we thank the friends of Sudan because their ongoing support in order to make this transition period a success. A big salute to our great people of Sudan for the sake of the country and for the sake of the nation. I would like to thank members of the armed forces and the rapid support forces who are doing the best. May Allah bestow His mercy on our martyrs, and Allah Almighty will do what Allah Almighty wants, and peace be upon you all.
All right, that was Abdel Fattah Al-Burhan, the Sovereign Council chairman, speaking on Sudanese TV. He said that the military in Sudan has acted to achieve the aspirations of the people. He's declared a state of emergency across the country. He has said that he's going to remove state governors. He's dissolving the Sovereign Council and the government. He says what the country is going through threatens its security and future. He says that a struggle that was going on politically threatened Sudan's peace and stability. He says that the balanced agreement had turned into a struggle between transition partners, and that the military council will continue with the democratic transition until a handover to a civilian elected government. And he said that elections would take place in July 2023. Let's bring in Al Jazeera's Hibba Morgan, who's out on the streets in Khartoum. I don't know how much of that you heard, Hibba. What are we to make of it?
Well, I've heard pretty much all, Adrian. And one thing we do know is that the Constitutional Declaration, that's the power-sharing document that we find between the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition and the Transitional Military Council, which oversees former President Omar al-Bashir, is no more. That is one thing that we can conclude from the statement of Abdel Fattah al-Burhan. Now, this is anything. It constitutes, as per that Constitutional Declaration that we find between the two sides, any going against any article of that document is a coup. And this is what we, what people here on the streets are saying. Some of them, as they're walking by past the presidential palace, have been chanting civilian government. They've been chanting against Burhan as the soldiers watched them. Many of them making their way to the army headquarters. And you can see the radios were turned on. They're listening to that statement and reacting to it minute by minute. You could see the anger, you could see the frustration, but many of them seem to be determined that they don't want President Abdel Fattah al-Burhan to be the one to lead them until elections are held as per the new date that we announced in July 2023. So we're seeing hundreds and hundreds of people walking past the presidential palace, chanting against Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and against the military, saying that they want a civilian government. But now it looks like that constitutional declaration that was set to bring them that civilian government that they've been looking for is out of the window.
I'm not going to buy this argument that the military acted in their interests.
Well, again, we've been talking to protesters, not just today, but over the past week, protesters in front of the presidential palace where this is taking place, as well as protesters who turned out on Thursday to commemorate the anniversary of the first revolution against the military rule. Now, they say that the only thing that is in their interest is handing over power to civilian rule. Those are the protesters who are outside of on the streets of Khartoum, but those in front of the presidential palace have been calling for the military to dissolve the cabinet and form a new government. So whether it's in the interest of the civilians or of the people, as President Abdel Fattah al-Burhan was saying, or whether people would accept that, that excuse that he's given for dissolving the Sovereignty Council and the cabinet, that remains to be seen. But we're already seeing people reacting to his statement, saying that they don't think that that he is actually doing this because he cares for the nation. Let's not forget that for weeks now, political parties have been accusing Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and his military of wanting to grab power and not being keen to hand it over to civilian rule, which coincidentally should happen next month as per the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition, according to the Juba Peace Agreement and the Constitution Declaration. So it looks like the fact that the military is supposed to hand over power to civilians has triggered this the overthrow of the Constitutional Declaration, which was signed between the two sides.
Al Jazeera's Hiba Morgan, live in Khartoum. Hiba, we'll be back with you a little later. So how did Sudan get to this point? Well, in December 2018, thousands of people in the northeastern region of Atbara protested against high unemployment, poverty and corruption. Within days, those protests spread to other cities, including the capital, Khartoum. In April 2019, the military removed President Omar al-Bashir from office after nearly 30 years in power. 4 months later, and after accusations of use of violence against protesters, the military agreed to form a civilian-led transitional government. Now, this new cabinet took office in September under Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok as part of a three-year power-sharing agreement. Let's bring in Jonas Horner, who's in Nairobi. He's the deputy director for the Horn of Africa and senior analyst for Sudan with the International Crisis Group. Jonas, what did you make of that statement there from the Sovereign Council chairman?
I thought it was remarkably disingenuous and self-serving, actually. You know, the claim that the December revolution is ongoing is going to raise a lot of hackles in the streets with those who have come out to really protest this coup. I think it's particularly disingenuous given that the military have been key to creating the conditions for this discord and security, and certainly in Congress too, given that Burhan is, you know, in many ways ostensibly head of state in this hybrid transitional arrangement, and those who have been part of this movement to push the government out are themselves key members of government. So any criticism of government performance is very much self-criticism, and then again seems incredibly disingenuous and incongruous as a result. I think, though, ultimately, you know, our sense at Crisis Group of what Burhan and the military and others around him are seeking holds out and was borne out by the speech, which is to say the hope is for a more friendly civilian government that will protect the interests of the military and other old guard groups who will come to see themselves, who do believe they will become losers in Sudan under the under a democratic transition as laid out in the country's constitutional declaration.
Is that what he was alluding to when he was saying that there are political powers trying to hold everything in their hands without being aware of the threats?
Yes. Well, you know, these divisions are being manufactured. They are, to be fair, divisions that have existed throughout the 2 years of this transition. So, you know, in many ways, the actual division lines aren't particularly surprising. It's much more that they've come out in the open so suddenly, so readily after a previous coup attempt almost 1 month ago. And in many ways, the hope has been that we could manage those inherent differences of opinion, differences in hope about what, you know, the very sort of nature and future of Sudan might be in a more cool and less violent and less intense way. But today's, this morning's events really, you know, throw a spanner in those works. You know, we still really like to see the military, you know, given a sense that there is some place for them ultimately at the table, you know, in a civilian dispensation. And there's also a real need to speak to some of the regional actors who have been instrumental in empowering the military to be much more, let's say, aggressive in these recent weeks.
He said the final goal is still free and fair elections and a handover to a civilian government. Elections are going to be held in July 2023. Should we believe him?
I think we might be able to believe him. There is some tactical and strategic preference, I would say, on the side of the military and the old guard political parties to have elections sooner rather than later, because this allows, this, you know, forestalls any of the new political forces from getting a toehold in the you know, chaotic political milieu in Sudan. And so those who exist, those who have existing structures to mobilize support, supporters to get them to the polls, they, you know, would appear to have an inherent advantage. So in many ways, for the old guard, quicker elections are perhaps preferable.
So how do you see this playing out now as far as people on the streets are concerned, Jonas? As our correspondent was saying a few moments ago, it's clear that the people don't buy into to his argument that the military was acting to achieve the aspirations of the people.
Yes, no, I think those aspirations are diametrically opposed. On the 21st of this month, there were major protests that saw people come out into the street requesting, you know, this, the exact opposite of what Burhan seems to be believing he is fulfilling on behalf of people. You know, people have come out in great numbers countrywide to request that the civilians remain the central component to this transition, and that the military, you know, end their disruptive approach to this. They're mutually exclusive, and I think those on the streets now will be, you know, really furious about Burhan's instrumentalizing of the freedom, peace, and justice slogan, for example.
Jonas, really good to talk to you. Many thanks indeed for being with us. Jonas Horner there in Nairobi.